A reading from Ephesians 3:20-21. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
Ephesians 3:20-21. What does that verse mean? Well, to me, it means that God is all-powerful. The scripture says God can do immeasurably more than anything we can ask or imagine according to his power that is at work within us. I see God's power in that he is like a shepherd to us. We don't think that a shepherd has power, but he does. In Psalms chapter 23, verse 1, it reads, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." It would take a lot of power for not to want anything. After all, think of all the stuffed animals I have, like Pablo here. Even though I have a lot of stuffies, and I have a lot of stuffies, I always wanted my parents to buy me more. Just ask my parents. God's power means that I have all that I need. But if I'm honest, it's with more important things than my stuffies. We want nothing because he takes care of not only my heart, but everyone's heart who calls him Lord. He is our shepherd and leads us through the hard times. Whenever a loved one passes away or something hard happens, you might think, why does God do this to me? We grieve and are sad like the time my Uncle Harold died. What I learned is that even in my grief, my shepherd made sure I wasn't alone. You're not alone either. God will never leave you. Isn't that what it means to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine? He is our shepherd and keeps us on the right path. We are like sheep, so we always want to go our own way. It's called sin. God is like your mom and dad because he has authority over you. We don't always like authority, but God uses his authority for our good, like your parents, sometimes. Like when your parents tell you to get off your phone or clean your room. It's actually for our good, and no, my parents didn't tell me to write that. God will ask us to do or not do things too. He'll say, hey, I need you to do this. Be an encourager. Speak to the new kid. Or he'll say, don't get angry with your teacher or don't be rude to someone just because they have a different opinion. You may or may not want to do what he's asking you. But remember, he's our shepherd. It's for our good. I see God's power in that he is like a savior to us. Do you remember that time that Jesus walked on water? How did he do that? He was like a rock star with more swag than Taylor Swift. I can see Jesus saying, okay, like I know Taylor Swift is good, but I'm so good. But he didn't. But he didn't walk on water to be famous. He was trying to save his friends who were scared because they are in the middle of the Sea of Galilee in the middle of a bad thunderstorm. I know I don't like thunderstorms. I either get in my bed or call a friend. The disciples didn't like it either, and they couldn't get in the bed with Jesus, so Jesus came to save them. Every miracle Jesus did was so that we know he came to save us. I see God's power in that he is like a servant to us. If we are the body of Christ, then I see Jesus as our heart. The human heart spreads blood throughout the body to help it function, like how Jesus spreads God's love throughout the world. I think that Christ serves at least that, if not much more. With each thump, Jesus tells us he loves us. Well, we know that because he died on the cross for us. But Jesus didn't die so we know that he loves us. He died so that others know he loves them too. With each beat of his heart, Jesus serves us so we might serve others to spread his love. God is in our heart right now, and he is doing immeasurably more than anything we can ask or imagine. That's why we, the church, are celebrating God, right? We don't sing all those hymns for some phony God, right, Pastor Tyler? No, we celebrate the power of God. He can do immeasurably more. He is our shepherd. He is our savior. He is our servant. Amen.
God's power is at work within us.
The power of love, the love of God.
God can do more, way more than you can ask or even imagine. Glory be to God, from the church, from the people.
Glory for all time, for every generation.
God can do more, way more, more than we can ask or imagine.
Just one second here.
Now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and Martha. His sister sent word to Jesus that Lazarus, the one who Jesus loved, was sick. When Jesus heard this, he said,
"This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory so that God's Son may be glorified through it."
Jesus stayed where he was for 2 more days and then said to his disciples,
"Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going to wake him up."
The disciples thought he meant natural sleep, but Jesus had been speaking of his death.
"Lazarus is dead, and for your sake I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe. Let us go to him."
On their arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. Martha said to Jesus,
"Lord, if you had been here, my brother would have died, but I know now that even God will give you whatever you ask."
"Your brother will rise again."
"I know he will rise again in the resurrection of the last day."
"I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this?"
"Yes, Lord. I believe you're the Messiah, the Son of God, who has come into this world."
Then Martha went back and called her sister Mary aside and told her the teacher was there and asking for her. When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house, comforting her, noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet.
"Lord, if you had been here, my brother would have died."
When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit. He asked where Lazarus had been laid and was told to come and see. Then Jesus wept. The Jews said, "See how he loved him?" But some of them responded by asking if Jesus, who had opened the eyes of a blind man, could not have kept Lazarus from dying. Jesus came to the tomb, a cave with a stone laid across the entrance, and was once more deeply moved.
"Take away the stone."
"But Lord, by this time there's a bad odor, for he has been dead for 4 days.
Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?
So they took away the stone.
Father, thank you for hearing me. I know that you always hear me. I say this for the benefit of the crowd standing here so that they will believe that you sent me.
Having said this, Jesus cried with a loud voice,
Lazarus, come out.
The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face.
Unwrap him and let him go.
What does Lazarus' story tell us about Jesus? To answer this question, I read different versions of the Bible that have different words describing what happened. To me, one of the things the scripture tells us about Jesus is that his timing is not the same as Mary and Martha's timing. Martha says in verse 21, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Martha thinks that Jesus should have come when she sent him a message that the one who he loved, her brother Lazarus, was ill. Jesus showed that he had perfect timing and planning of his own. Jesus knew that Lazarus was going to die and that he was going to raise him from the dead. Jesus said, this illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. If Jesus had just healed Lazarus when he was ill, then the people would have been like, oh great, that's awesome, he healed Lazarus. But instead, Jesus showed that God has power even over death. God's timing is always perfect, no matter what we have planned. Another scripture this tells us about Jesus is that Jesus, while heavenly, is also human. We see emotion from Jesus in this story, emotion like sorrow and grief. The shortest verse in the entire Bible is found in this story, and it says, Jesus wept. Mary and Martha were mourning the loss of their brother. They were sad, and they had lost all hope of ever seeing their brother again. Previously in this story, it tells us that Jesus loved Lazarus. If you lost a family member or a friend, then you would be sad and you would be grieving their death. Jesus raised Lazarus to show that death is not the end. There is hope. Then, shortly after, Jesus died on the cross and was resurrected from the dead. Jesus showed us that there is hope, even in death, not just for Lazarus, but for us too. There is hope, because we know that when we die, we will live in heaven with our Savior Jesus forever. The last thing this tells us about Jesus is that he is powerful. He resurrected Lazarus from the dead. Don't you think that's a sign of being powerful? Lazarus had been dead for 4 days. The Jewish people thought a person wasn't really dead until after 3 days. So Jesus waited 4 to resurrect Lazarus. So the Jewish people would know that he was dead, dead, not just dead. Jesus prayed, then said, Lazarus, come out. And then he came prancing out of the tomb like nothing had happened. Scripture tells us that everything Jesus did was to glorify God. Jesus told Mary and Martha twice that they would see the glory of God. He raised a man from the dead to glorify God. He opened the eyes of a blind man to glorify God. He turned water into wine to glorify God. All of the miracles Jesus performed were simply to glorify God. So how can we, as God's children and God's church, glorify God? We can show God's light at school or at work or other places we are every day but don't normally think about showing God's light. We can glorify God through our actions. One time, my best friend had a seizure and I was terrified that another could happen, so I prayed over her. We must remember that the Lord is our shepherd and we must follow him as his sheep. We need to listen to the Lord and follow his directions and have faith in his process and his timing and shine our light so that God is glorified through it.
God's power is at work within us.
The power of love, the love of God.
God can do way more, more than you can ask or even imagine.
Glory be to God, from the church, from the people.
Glory for all time, for every generation.
God can do more, way more, more than you can ask or imagine.
Worship has been good today, y'all. Like, deep down in my soul, kind of good. I am so proud of these children, especially Maggie and Anna Claire. They did such a wonderful job proclaiming God's word and revealing to us how they see Jesus through these scriptures. Ephesians 3, 20 through 21 has been our focus scripture verse in CAM 3 this year. These two verses in Ephesians are a beautiful doxology, giving God praise for having the power to do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine. I love the dichotomy between what Mary and Martha believed was possible through the power of Jesus and how Jesus revealed that he could do immeasurably more than what they asked of him. Mary and Martha wholeheartedly believed that Jesus could heal their brother Lazarus from his illness. But once Lazarus died, they questioned if Jesus could heal him. Jesus, however, was not to be deterred. Not only did he use his power to heal Lazarus and to bring glory to God, he did so in a way that was immeasurably more than what Mary and Martha imagined. He raised their brother from the dead. Just like Mary and Martha, I think our expectations of God often taint our vision from seeing the abundant life that God has before us. We know that Jesus said, "I have come so that they may have life and have it in abundance." But our small human perspective, and sometimes our inability to succumb to God's will, get in the way of us claiming that abundant life. Most of you know that I just returned from a vision trip to Honduras with Pastor David, Reverend Henry Tyson, and Melanie Brooks. During this trip, we saw firsthand the wonderful work that God is doing in Honduras through an organization called Mission on the Move. At the heart of this organization is children. They have an after-school program for children and youth. They have recently opened a community center for families that have children with special needs. And they have a children's home that houses three families. Every child that they serve is in need. Most of them live in unimaginable poverty. Some of them have experienced things that no one should experience in their lifetime, especially a child. On the way back to our hotel one day, Melanie and I were discussing how hard it is to reconcile the lives we lead with those of the children that we had seen. Where was the abundant life for these children? On the plane ride home, I was reflecting on all that I had seen in Honduras, and it occurred to me that these children might not have an abundance of money or of material possessions, but what they did have was an abundance of love. They are surrounded by adults who love them, adults who are committed to making their life better, to giving them opportunities to learn and to grow, and to teaching them about Jesus. These adults are doing work that can only be done through the power of God, work that is bringing abundant life to these children and to their families. Every time we saw the children, they were smiling and laughing, playing with one another, and hugging whatever adult happened to walk by them. It was evident that these children are living an abundant life because despite their daily hardships, they exuded joy. Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these." That verse and the story behind it are a driving force in my life. It is at the core of what I believe about children's ministry. I saw this verse lived out so well during our time in Honduras. And as I look around this church today, I also see a place where this verse is lived out so well. I am beyond grateful to be at a church that recognizes the gifts and the talents that children bring to a congregation, allowing their voices to be heard in the here and now, not just when they become the future of the church. I am grateful that this church values the voices of boys and girls from the pulpit. By supporting the voices of our girls, you are advocating for the women they will become, women who will one day, maybe, hear the voice of God calling them into ministry. I am also thankful that First Baptist is a place where children can come to grow, to serve, and to lead. I hope that through our children leading worship today, you have seen a glimpse of the kingdom of God. Through experiencing the faith of our children, I hope that you have seen and heard how Jesus came to give all of us life and life abundantly. As we sing the hymn of response, if God is speaking to your heart with a decision, whether to join the church, to commit your life to God, or maybe even to answer a calling that God has placed on your heart, I invite you to come forward.